Boker Tov. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Hay. We actually reached right to the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Which is two notes of housekeeping. First of all, yesterday when we were explaining the Gemara about Haiman the Shad the Sichsel Asuna on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses a person throwing a peg into the oven. So we jumped the gun. I was pointed out to me after the share that I said the word metal peg, a metal peg, which is a mistake. The peg in the Mishnah, the peg in the Gemara over there is talking about a wooden peg. The Gemara later speaks about metal. The peg over there is talking about wood, and he's throwing it into the oven. Again, same idea as the recipe, what we spoke about is the same. He threw it in the oven to harden it. Rashi explains this wooden peg has some moisture in it, and he threw it in the oven to harden it. The hafini was that when you're just hardening something, it's not going to be a melacha of Bishul on Shabbos, because Bishul has to be first softening, then hardening. And the Kamash Malan is that L'chayra, this is a big Machlekes Rashi Tesis, which we did not point out. The Kamash Malan is, according to Rashi, that it first gets soft, the wood, before it gets harder. It gets soft, the water still starts to evaporate, and then it gets harder. Since it meets the criteria of soft and hard, therefore it fits Bishul. That's how Rashi learns the Kamash Malan. Rambam learns the Kamash Malan differently. Rambam learns Fakert. Halach L'maisa, whether you're making something hard, soft, or something soft, hard, either way, that is an iser of Bishul min HaTorah. So again, it's a lot of food, of course, even with other utensils or other kalim, making something hard, soft, or soft, hard through the means of fire is also going to be Bishul, according to Rambam, both directions Bishul. So big machlokes, Rashi Rambam, as to what is enough to be considered Bishul by other items. That's point number one. Point number two, we spoke at the end of the shiur, Yossel had 2 days in a row, interesting points, interesting questions. One is, is there some sort of correlation between the 39 Arbam Chasa Achas, specifically 40 minus 1 by Malacha Shabbos, and Arbam Yakenu? In the Torah it says 40 Malkas, yet we know minus 1 is 39 Malkas. That's the Gemara tells us how amazing the power of the Chum is to diminish one of the Malkas that the Torah says. 40 is 39. Is there any connection between those two 40s, which are 39? That was 2 days ago's question. Yesterday's question, or interesting note Yosef pointed out, was that when we went through the different melachas, the amount of melachas that one could be over in making a barrel, making an oven, making a reed, some sort of reed, kalim from reed, sewing that clean, we said the list of melachas were 7, 8, 11, 13. Those are the list of the numbers of the amount of melachas one's over. And Yosef pointed out that it's ironic that that's exactly the same numbers as we have by the tzitzis, the strands that go, the loops around the tzitzis, is 7 in between in the first set of knots, 8, then 11, then 13. Is there some correlation? So right after the share, I think this is after we already finished the share, Leon pointed out with a big chop that 7, 8, 11, 13 actually equals 39. 7, 8, 11, 13 actually equals the same number as 39. So slowly starting to get some sort of connection. So what's the shot? So the question really goes back to what is the idea behind the 7, 8, 11, 13 assists in the first place. So both Leon and Daniel Greif sent me after this year. I mean, it's black and white. It's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mechaber even writes about it. The Mechaber is a little bit different numbers. Mechaber is 7, 9, 11, 13. But the we're not, Mishnah Berurah brings the we're not 7, 8, 11, 11, 13. And the idea is that 7 and 8 equals 15, which is Yud K. 11 is Vav K, is the Vav and the Hay. So it's the Shem Hashem 26, Gematria 26. The 7, 8, 11 is 26, which is the Gematria of Shem Hashem. And 13 is the Gematria of Echad, Hashem Echad. So the idea of 7, 8, 11, 13 on our tzitzis is Hashem Echad. So perhaps, we said, we're not necessarily making a connection between Malkus per se and Shabbos to an extent, but maybe the connection in both cases are the number 39 is the constant memorization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Echad. So the idea of O Malacha Shabbos totally the number of Hashem Echad, and the tzitzis on our begin, the loops on our tzitzis on our begin, of course, is Hashem Echad, that's for sure. And even Malkus, a person's over a lav, the fact that he gets 39 Malkus is because it all comes from a lack, Malacha Shabbos, or Malkus, a lack of Hashem Echad. Maybe that's the connection, the loose connection, Derech Drush, in these past couple of days, numbers questions from Rabbi Yassim. Okay. So we reached the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Dalet of Beis. Says the Gemara, Atayfer Shtei Tviras, if one sews two stitches, so the Gemara is bothered that one of those two stitches is chayv from Malacha Shabbos, but it's not a finished Malacha because if you sew two stitches and you don't do any more, it's going to come out right away as well. Just like one stitch is nothing, even two stitches without any further action, it's going to unwind. Says the Gemara, V'leikayma, Amar Rabbi Bechana, Rabbi Bechana, Vushak Shar. And you're right, it doesn't mean two stitches, it means two stitches with a knot. Two stitches with a knot at the end, then one's chayv and Shabbos. If you don't make the knot, one is not going to be chayv. Amar Rabbi Bechana, Rabbi Bechana, Akai Ramanas Litfer. One, we said in the Mishnah that one who ties, sorry, Sorry, Vukashikosh, he tied the knot. Hakar Amnas Litfer. Next case. We said in the Mishnah, if one ties tears in order to sew, that's also considered malacha. In fact, the Mark, Kriba Mishkan Mihave. Where do they tear in the Mishkan? Where do they tear to sew? They're making new items. Where were they tearing to sew? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Revzir Dami Tarvayo, top of Ayin Hamad Aleph, Shekin Uriah Shenafla Badarna, a cloth, that curtain, that a worm fell on it, that a worm fell into it and started making like a round hole, Kurin Bavatayfinasa. They would tear it, make a tear, and then line it up properly, and then re-sew it. When there's a round hole from the worm, they would tear it in order to re-sew it properly. That was the Eitzah for a hole in the curtain. That's part of the fabrication of the Mishkan, and therefore they have tearing in the Mishkan. So this Chum Sefer points out, very interesting, that we know there's an Isser, Le'sasin Kein L'Hashem Mekecha. The halacha is that he's supposed to destroy Avodah Zarah's, Le'sasin Kein L'Hashem Mekecha, when it comes to Hashem Hashem Chalila, or Hashem's things that belong to Hekdesh, you know, one's not supposed to destroy it. Things that belong to Kedesh, the Mikdash, one's not supposed to destroy. Reis Hashem's name, L'Sasin L'Hashem Mekecha. So one could have thought that if the Urias have a tear, a hole in it, you can't tear it. You can't destroy it, even if you're destroying it in order to fix it. You can't destroy it. Rather, you Efshar B'Geniza, just bury it. Don't tear it at all. Kamashplan from our sugya, says Chamsev. We see very clearly that when Chamsev writes this in Shuvas, we see that when it comes to fixing, if you're tearing it in order to fix, that's not considered an issue of Asasakem Hashem Mekecha, and clearly it's mutter to tear the Urias of the Beis Hamikdash or the Mishkan in order to fix it further. And based on this logic, he discusses that Araya to fixing a Sefer Torah, meaning even if it requires erasing a pasuk out of order, erasing Shem Hashem, that fixing a Sefer Torah even with erasing Shem Hashem, Avadach Stamazit's also to erase Shem Hashem. But in this context where it's a tikkun to make it better, maybe it wouldn't be an Isser of Lasasakin L'Shem Mekecha, wouldn't be an Isser, and one would allow to do it to fix Sefer Torah. He wants to bring our Gemara as a potential Raya to that shaylam. Am Rav Zosha Bar Tuvia Bar Rav Hapesechut Shel Tefir B'Shabbos. Correct. Knocking down a shul to build a nice one or a big one in this place. Similar idea. Exactly. Very good mashal. Am Rav Zosha Bar Tuvia Bar Rav Hapesechut Hapesechut Shel Tefir B'Shabbos. One who stretches the thread of tefir of stitching on Shabbos. Chayef Chattas. What does that mean? Why is one chayef stretching the thread of stitches? So Rashi explains simple. We're talking about where the something was stitched and the stitch is getting loose. It's coming apart. So stretching the thread is a fancy way of saying pulling the thread to make it more taut, pulling the thread to make the whatever the stitches was connecting to making that connection more tight. So that's already a form of as tefir. You're actually doing the mila of what stitching is. That's what Rashi explains. Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Perek Yud Halacha Tes of Shabbos seems to say pulling the string is a problem because you're making it ready for tefira. You're making it ready for tefira further, which Pesach seems to explain is you're making the string straight. And by making it straight, it's fit for tefira later on. The Nishmas Adam is very bothered. Nishmas Adam is bothered. He says, I don't understand. We just had a Gemara 2 lines ago on the bottom of the Amma that said, what on earth is the mila of sewing 2 stitches? Even sewing 2 stitches alone is not chayev because it's just going to become undone. Rather, you have to sew 2 stitches and tie a knot at the end. So preparing a string to be ready for sewing later, that's going to be a malacha as well. A malacha of sewing, very shver. That's much worse than the case we even had of sewing 2 stitches without a knot. And therefore, Nishmas Adam learns that not like the Beis Yosef explaining Rambam, but rather that Rambam is more like Rashi. That Rambam means, again, one's pulling the string in order to, it's not so much the fact that he's making the string straight and long, that's not the main purpose, it's the purpose of connecting that which it was being stitched through, that which is stitched through, you're retightening it by pulling the string, and that is the malacha of tefer, by pulling that string tight, which is a very relevant case. Often people have like loose thread on a button or something, and by pulling it, it makes it tighter, that can be an issue of tefir tefir on Shabbos. V'aleim edav acham mogash. So once we have this author Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, the name of Rav, we say 2 other members completely unrelated, but the same author said he learned it from Rav. The first explained perhaps he learned it from Rav in the same shir, which would mean that it maybe is some relation, but he learned it from Rav in the same sitting, and therefore we quote these 2 other lechas as well, but really unrelated to Shabbos. V'aleim edav acham mogash. Want to learn something from a mogash? We'll see in 2 lines. Shabbos b'chaykes whether mogash is a person who's a kaifer or a person who's engaged in sorcery in magic. Chayiv Misa, the person's Chayiv Misa for learning something from Muggish. One who is able to learn, he's able to figure out the calculate the seasons and the constellations, and he doesn't do it, also not meant, it's also to learn Torah from that person. Rambam actually speaks out beautifully. Rambam speaks out, he says that Torah, that a person who recognizes the vast chachma in creation in the world, that recognition of that chachma brings him to a higher level of awareness, a higher level of chavivus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an important thing to study and to understand, especially one who has the ability to understand deeper ideas in creation. It's a mile, he's supposed to do it because it brings him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this person over here is like he's Eivor Batashkes. He has the opportunity to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu on higher levels, and he's not. The Gemara is going to be pretty clear. We're quoting from Rambam. It's really going to be Gemara a couple lines from now. It speaks along these lines. That explains it this way. That the idea is that the person has a major opportunity to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu and to bring out the glory, and he doesn't. It's like a Batashkes. Such a person better not to learn from. What's Magushta? When we said a person learns from a Magush is a problem. What does it mean? Magushta Rav Shmuel, Chana Mecharshi, one says it means a sorcerer. Chana Magadufi, one says it means a Magadif, one who curses, one who's a Kaifer, one who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taisa actually brings interesting, look in Taisa, jump to Taisa's Amagusha. Taisa brings it's actually a Machlekes, it's a discussion of Rav Papa. Rav Papa himself debated whether Magusha means. When the Gemara says in Ma'ariv Katan, Parem Gushe, Pare, the famous Pare from Mitzrayim, he was a Mgushi, because it says he went down to the water. Chadam, one says it means, Lasses Kshafim to do Kishav, and one says it means, because Gdufi was a Magadav, because he made himself a god. He said, these waters are mine, I created it. So the Reed is just bothered that Rav and Shmuel over here in our Gemara have a Machlekes in order of Papa, Papa came later, in order of Papa Taiches. The Reed says, don't learn it that way. Obviously, the Machlekes of Rav Shmuel aligns with the Machlekes of Rav Papa, but they must have had some other source, the word Mgushi used elsewhere, and that's Rav Shmuel. It aligns. It's the same two possibilities that Rav Papa brings, the Gabi Pare and the word Amgushi, but again, they're not arguing what Rav Papa says, because of course, Rav Papa's younger, Rav Papa came after them. Okay, it's time to Rav Amgudufi. Let's bring a Rai. That's Rav who says that Amgushi is the person who's being Megadif. The Amar Rav, Zutra Bartuvi Amar Rav, same author as we've been quoting actually. One who learns one matter from a Magush, Chayiv Misa. That's the memory we just said before. That's the same. Now, the Isakadaita Kharshi. If you tell me means a sorcerer, Haksivli Silmalases Avatalamid Love and Lyris. So again, we're saying that the member in its entirety was not just not to learn from Mugushi, but if one learns from Mugushi, he's Chayiv Misa. So Mars being Madaik, why would he be Chayiv Misa? Bishlamef means Megadif. So that's Chayiv Misa because it leads to being Megadif Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's part of learning from a person who does that could bring to Gidif itself. This Chayiv Misa. But if it means sorcery, we know a person is not supposed to learn sorcery to perform it. Lases. Avatalamid Love and Lyris. But a person needs to learn it to know what others are doing, to know how to punish them, to know when one's a person that's mechuyev for doing it, a person you have to stay away from, who's doing it, you have to know the idea to know what to stay away from. And therefore, you can't tell me that learning is a problem, because on the contrary, learning about source we're saying is not an issue, it's performing it's an issue. But therefore, it must be, when we're saying chayiv misa, must be learning from Magadif, according to Rav, it's learning from Magadif to stay, and the Rav says it's a good raya. Rav's one who says that it's Magadif, and it's Shmuel, the one that says that it's the Chershi, is one who learns from the sorcerer, is Chayiv Misa. The Gemara doesn't explain why I call it the Shmuel. It would be Chayiv Misa, but at least according to Rav, we're understanding that Rav is going to go into Tzad, that it's the Megadif. Amar Bishulman Pazi, Amar Bishulman Levi, Bishulman Kapar, Koyadea, Lachashav, Tkufas, Mazalis, Vedachashav, whoever knows to figure out the seasons, the constellations, and he doesn't think about it, all of a sudden, Vaimer, Vespeil Hashem, Loyabitu, Masi Adavle Ro, the work of Hashem they don't see, the action of his hands they don't see, meaning they have opportunity to connect on a higher level to the Maisa Kadosh Baruch, Kinairahim, and they don't, it's a Pasuk says, it's a waste. Amar Bishulman Achmin, Amar Bechanan, Menayan Shem Mitzvah, Adam, Lachashav, Tkufas, Mazalis, I know it's a mitzvah on a person to figure out the Tkufas, Mazalis, of course, if it's within his capability to figure these things out. I mean, it's not so simple. It's complicated sugyas. But if he can, he should be busy with it. It's your chachma and your bina le'ena amim. The relays of my sharots in the back actually elaborates this part of the issue. Part of the issue is part of our knowledge and our being established, being chashiv in the eyes of the goyim, is that our talmid chachamim, not just talmid chachamim, they're not just knowledgeable in Torah mitzvahs, they're knowledgeable also in the constellations, and the goyim used to respect the yidden for that. So if a person has the opportunity to learn and doesn't, he's diminishing this status that we have of our talmid chachamim in the eyes of the goyim, and he's losing out that maila. What is the chachma bina that's equal, that's also the eyes of the nations? That's figuring out the exact seasons and the constellations is the chachma of the goyim also appreciate, and therefore, if someone has the ability to know it, to understand it, he should study it in order that we should be held in high esteem. The Talmid Chacham should be held in high esteem, even amongst the Goyim. Le'inei Amim. Okay, back to Shabbos, back to the Melachos. Hatzatzvi, one who hunts a deer, we said is chayev for hunting, and when he
shechts it, and then we flays it. We go through different malachas with the animal. Taraban. Hasad chalazim apaitzai. One who traps the chalazim. The chalazim we know was that worm. It's actually shaila what it is really. A worm or a fish where you squeeze it and the blood comes out and the blood is a dye, a blue color, which was used for tchelis. It's also a question, by the way, if it's the blood or if it's some sort of mucus that's inside its shell. It's again gets back to really the machlokes. Is it really a snail, a worm, or is it more of a fish? Of course, it became a more relevant topic in recent years because people have discussed different worms or fish that maybe indeed be considered the chalazin, and people make their petchelus. Many people, but people that big paiskim, big gedolim, petchelus in their garments on their tzitzis based on. The assumption that this is the proper chalazin. So, based on how we touch our Gemara, maybe rias to one way or another, whether it's a snail or whether it's a fish. Let's see. So, Gemara says, one who traps a chalazin, and he then paitzai, and then squeezes it with his hand to force out the blood, einai chayev elachas. He's only chayev one malacha, the malacha of trapping. He's not chayev, Rashi says, for squeezing out the blood. If you don't know, chayev shtayim. He chayev two malachas. Why? Squeezing out the blood is b'chal dash. It's b'chal threshing. Amrulai, they said back to him, no, the reason why there's no dash, they agree that squeezing out would be normally, Amrulai, ain't psia b'chal disha. They said to him, no, squeezing the blood is not b'chal drisha. Amrav disha. Amrav, my time, but why not? Kasavi ain't disha el-gudulikarka, because dash is only that which goes to the ground. Dash threshing is that which goes to the ground, not related to worms or to fish. Now, there's a discussion if the squeezing is an issue of we're saying over here it's an issue of dush. Some want to say it's actually a hard shell, and in order to get out this blue liquid, whether it's dot, whether it's blood, or whether it's mucus, it was cracking a shell. That's what some Rishonim explain it. Again, the rest of the Gemara could really be the same, but it's cracking a shell. The Machlekes Rishonim, whether it's cracking a shell or squeezing out, may play a role in what they feel today is the snail, which is the chalazan. If it doesn't have a hard shell, it wouldn't fit, according to Rishonim, it wouldn't be a raya, that what we have today would not be the proper chalazan. That is one discussion. You know, we're not going to get into the scope of it. It's obviously a very big topic. The other question is, we're calling this tzad. A snail, chayra, is mutzvaimid. A snail, you have to trap. A snail goes, I mean, there's an expression, slow as a snail. A snail is very slow. If it's a fish, it maybe will make a little more sense. It's hard to capture. We're dealing with tzad. If it's a snail, a little bit difficult to understand, unless this is a fast-moving snail or fast-moving worm. What does it mean that there's tzad on it? Someone would say that, no, it gave me a snail, but this worm is found, or the snail is found, in the depths of the ocean. So in order to get it, you have to drop nets all the way down. So the trapping is not so much trapping it because it's running away from you, it's trapping it because you're securing it from a place where it's hard to get to. That would be the form of trapping over here. That's how others want to explain. The Radvaz asks, how do they even have in the Midbar the chalazin for making the Mishkan? The chalazin is in the chalik of Zvulun. How do they have it? So he explains, it's just a technical question, he explains that in the Midbar, if you go to the edge of the Midbar, they hit the waters that border on Zvulun's chalik, and he says, perhaps even Mizman HaZeh, the Radvaz writes in his days, we can still find the chalazin in that area now that we know where it's located. Okay, now one other point that we really didn't discuss yesterday, we should have, is in terms of Ein Dish, we're saying the machalik is where the chayef two, or one, certainly we're saying chayef for trapping the chalazin, and there's a machlekes for the chayef also for squeezing out the dam. The Rabbi Yehuda says one's chayef because it's dush, whereas the Rabbanan say it's not yinach chayef. Why? Because it's ain't disha el b'gdula karka, and this is not g'dula karka. We spoke out, we touched this the other day, but Rashi on daf Ayin Gimon Bey says that when one is chaylev, I guess it's 2 days ago, I'm sorry. When one is chaylev, when one milks an animal, he's chayev from a farik, which is a tolda of dush. That's what Rashi says. We spoke it out. We actually spoke it out, I think, in the beginning of yesterday's year. We referenced it. It's really from the end of 2 days of this year. But the dush, Rashi holds, it's mefarik. Mefarik is a tolda of dush. Taisvis' kasha on Rashi is that lechera dush shouldn't apply there because dush is only on gedula karka from our Gemara. Dush is only gedula karka, and milking an animal is not gedula karka. And therefore, Taisa says it's mamachik. Taisa argues and says it's not dush. Mefarik, I should say, which is milking an animal, what we call mefarik, is not a tolda of dush. Rather, it's a tolda of mamachik, smoothing out. That is why Taisa argues in Rashi because it's not gedula karka. So Taisa is about varns, an answer for Rashi. Taisa doesn't like it, but the chayyus, I have to explain to Rashi that animals, because they live, especially herbivores, because they live off the that vegetation, that which grows from the ground, they're considered gedule karka. The Gemara in a few places does use this nusach, that animals are considered gedule karka because they live off what grows from the ground, therefore they could be called gedule karka, and therefore not a stira. Apparently this chalazan in our sugya, according to Rashi, you have to say, it doesn't live off what grows from the ground at all, and therefore it would not be considered gedule karka at all, and therefore the Chum is saying there would not be an issue of dash. Okay, says the Gemara, why is it Ochiv Asiyah Shama? Asiyah Shama is one of the machas as well coming up. Why Michayev for killing the chalazin? Amar Bechna Shapatzei Mace. Rebechna says because we're talking about where he squeezed the chalazin after already was dead. He's squeezing him when already was dead. That's answer number one. Rav Amar. Rav says no.
What kind of sod is there?
Sorry.
There with sod. It's dead. I'm going to be sod.
You say if you.
He said the there is called sod. It's part of the sod tzvi. You're capturing a live animal, not a dead animal. It's not capturing a dead animal.
Yeah.
What's the mace? What's the affair?
That's a good question. Meaning we seem to be saying you have both in the same story over here, right? If it's separate stages, wouldn't be a problem. You're saying our Gemara is entertaining the possibility that it's chayiv both for tzad and for...
Oh, unless he's saying it's separate. It's
yeah, separate. Yeah, I'm saying maybe separate. No, but you're right. The reading of the Gemara...
captures it, it dies.
So we'll have to get back to explain that. It's a good question. Rav Amar, Afitem Shapatzachai, Rav says, even if we can talk about it's a case where it's still alive, Misasak who ate Siltias Hashama, Legabin Siltias Hashama is a Misasak. Rashi is supposed to explain, that's not Misasak. The word Misasak that we've had the past couple of blah, which means a person totally unaware of what he's doing, it doesn't mean over here. Over here means Dabashem Skavin. His kivun is not to kill it. His kivun is just to squeeze out the dye, not to kill it, and therefore it's not considered Siltias Hashama. Fracting more obvious question, Vabai Rav Dam Tavayo, Maid Bashim Psikration Vayamas, Dabashem Skavin, even Bashim who's Matib Dabashem Skavin, is Maidim with Psikration, and this literally Psikration Vayamas, cut off the head, it's not going to die. Squeeze its guts out, it's not going to die. Of course, it's going to die. So, if Shimon's made of the Shabbichayev, Shani Hachad, the Kamad, the Isle, Neshama, Tfei, Nichale, Kehech, the Litzel Tzavi. Very interesting svara. That the Mara says over here, even according to Rabbi Rava, it would not be a problem of secretion. You know why? Because the person does not want it to die. He mamish wants it to live. The longer it lives, the better the ink comes out. So, there's actually an art of trying to squeeze the dye out, squeeze, which again could be the mucus or the blood, try to squeeze it out and leave the worm, leave the fish, whatever it is, the chalazin alive as long as possible in order for it to come out better. It comes out better. It comes out more clear. It's more clear when it comes out, when it's squeezed, when it's still alive. So over here, it's not stam that it's not something he wants. It's enim eskaven. He wants exactly opposite. He doesn't want it to die. Since he doesn't want it to die, therefore, it wouldn't be a problem of psikration of liyamas in this case. Vashaychtei. We said the Mishnah of one shechts. He's chayev for a malacha, more than 30 malachas on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Sheikha b'shemai chayev. Why is the Sheikha chayev? What's the question? What do you mean? It's a malacha. He's shechting animals. Rashi explains, the question is that for the purpose that was needed in the Mishkan, one doesn't have to shecht. One doesn't have to shecht. He could have shot the animal. He can kill the animal, stab the animal, kill the animal some other way. He doesn't have to shecht. So the question is, if in order to get high, you don't have to shecht, why is that malacha of shechita considered one of the malachas that are required for the Mishkan? Says the Gemara. Actually, before we see the Gemara, the Sherem Tzum Malacha, he asks, what do you mean? If you just shoot it, then it's you're not going to be able to eat the meat. It's baltashka. You're not going to be able to benefit from it. Also, it could be tzar balachayim. If you're shechting, it's the most humane way to kill the animal. That's what we hold. It's the most humane way to kill the animal. So that's why you're shechting it. So why are you saying that you could just kill it in some other fashion? Killing it in some other fashion is not really an option. So he explains beautifully. He says, Enachanami, we don't mean that you should kill it in another fashion other than shechting it. Shechting it would definitely be the most opportune way to kill it. But legabe melechas ha-mishkan, in order to prepare hides for the mishkan, that didn't require shechita. Our 39 melechas are melechas that were required in the prep for the mishkan. He could have killed it another way and still have it, could have been dead already, and he could still use it for prep of the mishkan. So even though you're right, once you're coming to kill an animal, even for prep of the mishkan, you're going to do shechita because that's the most humane way to do it. It's also a way that you're not going to have baltashkas and all the meat. The meat will still be mutter. All that's true, but it shouldn't be considered one of the Melechas HaMishkan, because the Shechita Shabbai is not integral to the Melechas HaMishkan. That's the Gemara's question. He's elaborating in Rashi in the Gemara's question. Sheikh Amar Shabbai Mechayev. On that, the Gemara answers Rav Amar Shabbai Tzeveya. It's dying. Shmuel Amar Shabbai Tzeveya. What does it mean dying? Why is it? Why? What's the Maila of dying? He's trying to dye the animal's neck with dam. It's a weird way of dying. I mean, the Gemara is going to discuss really on Amud Beis a little bit the topic about a weird that the Maila of having the blood around the neck of the animal is that it shows off that it's fresh. It's a milah. So a sheikh does want to have, he does like the coloring that the blood puts into the animal's skin because it does show off the animal's fresh. Okay, so in Mechlekes Rav Shmuel, what the chiyuv of shechita is. Is it a problem of dying or is it a problem of Natilas Neshama? That's the machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel. Rambam, ironically enough, Paskins like Shmuel. Normally we say halach is like Shmuel by Mamanis and by Rav by Isser. Over Rambam Paskins like Shmuel that the problem of Sheikhet was a problem of Natilas Neshama, which is like Shmuel. Question is, why is he passing not like Rav? So the Lecha Mishnah explains, look at the next line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, according to Rav, Rav Mishim Tzevei Shmuel Amr Mishim Tzevei Shama. Says the Gemara, top of Ambeis, Mishim Tzevei, Mishim Tzevei Shama Lai. Does Rav not agree to the Tzevei Shama? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Ema Af Mishim Tzevei. Rav agrees that it's Mishim Tzevei Shama and also Mishim Tzevei. Rav agrees that it's also Mishim Tzevei. So says Lecha Mishnah, it's very good. Rambam Paskins over here, like it's not just like Shmuel. It's like Rav too. Rav also agrees to Tzevei Shama. And the reason why he picks that is, first of all, they both agree to Tzevei Shama. And furthermore, the Mishnah's mashma that there's one nekuda, there's one iser in this lav. It's not multiple isurim in this act of shechita, and therefore it makes sense to say that it is netzias l'shama. If you're picking one, pick the one that's universal that both Rav and Shmuel agree to. So you don't have to come out to Rama pass like Shmuel. He's passing like Rav over here as well. It's both Rav and Shmuel agree to this prat. Amar Rav milsa da amri emer ben milsa. I'm going to say something about the member that I said. That people shouldn't come later generations and laugh at me. I'm saying there's an issue of tzveya here, and they're going to laugh at me. Tzveya, but my nichalei. What type of tzveya is it? Who wants tzveya? Who cares that then we're going to say the answer? Who cares that the neck has died? Which is a little bit of a pella. Rav saying I'm going to say some milsa in order they shouldn't laugh at me in a few generations. As a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether malacha shein tzvicha legufa is chayev. So it sounds like it is tzveya, but who needs it? The guy doesn't need the tzveya here, and therefore it's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. They're going to laugh at me. They chayev. If I remember correctly, Rav is makbid for Rabbi Yehuda shita of malacha shein tzvicha legufa is chayev. Even Rambam actually paskins that way. Rambam passed away the ma'isa. Rav is chayev. The Shmuel passes like Rabbi Shimon Lekula, but Rav himself is chayev Rabbi Yehuda. So why would they laugh at him about malacha shein tzvicha legufa being chayev? Why would they laugh at him? The explanation is that it's not derech tzviya bekach. It's like lachar yad. It's not a normal way of doing of dying, and therefore, unless you can explain a better reason why this dying has relevance, it wouldn't be considered it's an abnormal way to dye something to color it, and therefore, it's more than lachar shen tzviya gufa. It's ein derech tzviya bekach bechlal. Says the Gemara. Nichalei, the maila is the listavis beshchita dama. It's good for him that the area of shechita is full of blood. Keich lachaza inchi v'leisu lizvamine. It makes it a much more choice animal for people to buy. People see blood marks around the neck. They know it's a fresh animal. They want to jump all over it and buy it. And therefore, that dying is a huge maila. It's not just an outcome that's ain't tzvich legufa. It's a maila that he wants. And also, the issue we explain is ain't derech tzvich bekach. It sure is. It is derech tzvich bekach because he wants it to be dyed that way. That's testimony to his freshness. And therefore, it's a full fledged malacha. But malacha b'abdu, we said one who salts the hide and one who tans the sky. That's just
that you said before. That's a nice part, I think.
So he said in the Mishnah, one who salts and he tans the hide is going to be chayev two separate malachas. In fact, I'm abed. Salting is part of the tanning process. Why we count these two separate malachas? We already spoke of this answer. Rebbechav Reishlakish, when we read the Mishnah, Rebbechav Reishlakish Tamei Tavayo, Apik Chad Minayo, take out malach or ma'abed, meaning combine those two into one. Have I'll sirtut. Put in sirtut, which we explain to mean tracing lines on the parchment. So actually, we explain it to mean like Rashi's pshat, which is tracing lines, which gives you the ability to cut it exactly where you want, which is gets into malacha mechatech. So the tracing lines, sirtut is another malacha. That is how Rashi learns. Rambam actually explains that the sirtut is a little different. Rambam explains that sirtut is not just the tracing lines. For cutting purposes. Rambam explains the sirtut is tracing lines for ksiva, like in a sefer Torah, parchment. When you want to write properly, it's in order to be kesef, it's in order to write properly. So, in the base of this machlokes, Rambam and Rashi, according to Rambam, it's more of an issue of ksiva. It's, again, sirtut for ksiva. It's not kesef, it's sirtut for ksiva. According to Rashi, it's in order to cut properly. Chashuk Yechemer brings a bunch of afkamin, it's a very interesting shtickle. The Shaili is discussing, Rav Zilber Shain Shlita, is whether a surgeon, he has to perform, obviously, he's talking about Shabbos, so it must be an emergency surgery, he has to perform a surgery. Is he allowed to do sirtut on an adam, on a person, to make lines on the person to help him do the surgery better? Obviously, if it's Buch Nefesh, he has no choice, he could do it on Shabbos, but the Shaili is, should he ask a guy to do it if possible, or if it's something which is not absolutely necessary? Should you avoid doing a Shabbos because it's not needed? That's the Shaila. What's the shaila? It's going to be told in Machlokes Rashi Rambam. So first he brings a few nefkins Rashi Rambam. According to Rashi, if one uses the left hand to do the sirtut, he's still aiver. Because the malach of sirtut is nothing to do with writing. It's not ksiva. And therefore, using the left hand is not enough of a shinoi. You're simply making lines to be able to cut properly. As long as you made proper lines for proper cutting, you aiver the malach of sirtut on Shabbos. According to Rambam, it's like writing with the left hand. Writing with the left hand for writing is not considered, it's literally kalachar yad. It's classic lach yad. And what's that machlokes? So sirtut with left hand, we're not machlokes either. One nefkin community Rashi and Rambam. Another afkmina. What if he uses his inks that disappear? Inks that don't last. Invisible ink. What if he uses invisible ink? According to Rashi, it's still an issue because by putting ink, he made a spot which makes it more clear where to cut. That's a problem. According to Rambam, it's kind of under the guise of kaisev, even though it's actually there to help write on a line, and he really could theoretically use it before it disappears. But the point is, it's under the whole category. Really, it's comparable to kaisev, and just like kaisev, which is not meant to last, a ksiva which is going to disappear once a chayav for Shabbos, so too sirtut that's going to disappear. Chashukim will say, according to Rambam, would not be chayav. Another, that's the second afkamina, left hand or disappearing. That's first two afkaminas. Third afkamina. What if you write only one letter? If you write one letter, according to Rashi, it's still chayev. Writing one letter is once. I mean, obviously, according to Rashi, it's not really meant for letter writing anyway. But if you write the shear of one letter, there's no shear bichlal. There's no shear. According to Rashi, you chayev because there's no minimum shear. Any sirt that you do to help cut the parchment, cut the hide better, is a chayev. According to Rambam, l'chara, if the whole purpose of sirtut is a ksiva, you need to do enough sirtut for a shear ksiva and enough sirtut for. Sorry, let me say it better. You weren't doing sirtut. You weren't writing a letter. You're doing sirtut enough space to write one letter on top of it. So according to Rashi, it would be a problem because any amount of sirtut is a concern for cutting purposes. According to Rambam, the whole purpose of sirtut is to be able to write straight on top of it. If you do sirtut enough for only one letter, if the chiv is two letters, sirtut for one letter is not going to be chayev. Circling back, the fourth nafkina, back to the surgery. He wants to say, according to Rashi, it would be a non-issue. Sirtut was a way to cut parchment, cutting human in order to surgery would not be part of sirtut. According to Rambam, where the whole notion is that it's in order to help a person align his ksiva properly, so aligning the surgery properly, ironically enough, even though you're cutting, which is similar to Rashi, but aligning the surgery properly would be a concern, would be an issue on Shabbos, and therefore, avad, if it's kukh nefesh, there's no time and no choice, you do it without a shayla. However, if there's an option to use invisible ink, or to have a guy do it instead, he should take those options to be chayshish to the Rambam, as they pass the chushuk chemin lemaisa. One other point, actually, before we go weiter, on the last Gemara that we didn't speak out, we discussed that there's an issue of tzeveya and etzilas neshama by shechting an animal. So chasam tzeveya is a gshmak shayla. What about bempekua? By a bempekua, you know, an animal that you shecht and you find inside it, we had this in Atlanta, the chulin, you shecht an animal, you find inside the animal a live vlad, you take out a live uber. The halacha is that vlad already had a shechita, the shechita of the mother, the shechita for the vlad, and therefore one need not shecht this bempekua. So what happens if one goes and shechts a bempekua on Shabbos? He shechts a bempekua on Shabbos. Is he going to be? I mean, bempekua is really no dinei v'menachai. There could be dinei v'menachayim. Could be, but isrei v'menachai does neither apply. He could take off a limb, still keep working in the field, not a problem. So if one goes to shechts on Shabbos, is he going to be aver or not? Says Chacham Sefer, it depends. Tzvia will still apply. Dying in the neck, making him have fresh blood, people's eat a fresh animal, that will still apply. But Netzilas Neshama L'chair wouldn't apply because you don't need a shecht in order to make it edible. You're allowed to eat it as is. So the Netzilas Neshama wouldn't apply. Says Chacham Sefer further, beautiful shtickle. There's a famous machlekes Rambam and Rashba. We know Goyim have Zayim Mitzvah Neyach. Zayim Mitzvah Neyach include Eivir Menachai. It's one of the seven Mitzvah Neyach. Goyim cannot either eat Eivir Menachai. What about an animal that's a bempekua? Are Goyim allowed to eat a bempekua? Only Yidden have a bempekua. Goyim don't have a din shechita. Goyim can shoot the animal, kill it, and then they keep the animal. There's no din shechita by a guy. By a Yid, there's a din shechita. So now, by a Yid, there's a din shechita. Do we say the shechita of the mother? We know. Shechita of the mother makes the bempekua mutter without shechita. There's no din Eivir Menachai. You're allowed to eat the vlad, the baby from the mother. Animal, you're allowed to eat it without a shechita by a yid. What about by a guy? Do we say, since it's a shechita for a yid, it's automatically kosher for a guy as well, and not a problem of Eiv Menachai? Or do we say, no, since the guy has no din shechita can't help him. He's still, the guy's din, it's got to be a dead animal. So if it's a live animal, even though it's a bempekua, for a guy, the usher, it's a machlekes, Rambam, and Rajba. Rambam learns that by a ben nayach, it's tak usher. Ben nayach does not have the heter of bempekua, and therefore says Chazam Sefer, according to Rambam, not only would Tzvi be an Isser, Shechti Ben Pekua would be Isser because you're being Misakin. It's not a Mekalkel. You're being Misakin it because Eitzel Ben Noach is a Tikkun. Whereas according to Rajba, that even a Ben Noach is Mutter without Shechita because Ben Noach is no worse than a Yid. And once you Shecht the mother, the Ben Pekua is Mutter without Shechita. So therefore, the act of Shechita, if it's only Netzias Hashem and not Tzveya, would not be a problem according to Rajba because even though you're doing an act of Shechita, it's completely Mekalkel. There's no need for it, and therefore one would certainly not be chayev on Shabbos for it, according to Rashba, a nice shmaka shtickle, a chap from the Chassam Sefer. Okay. Says the Marvaiter, Amar Rav, Rabba Bar Huna, Hayman de Malach Bisro, someone who salts meat, Chayev Mishum Ma'abed. Very interesting. Salting meat is Chayev Mishum Ma'abed. There's no difference between salting the hide and salting the meat. It's also a form of Eben. Rav Amar Rav says, no, ain't Eben Baichlin. There's no Eben when it comes to food. Jump the top taste. He says, don't tell me now, therefore it's mutter to salt the food all you want, to us Midar Banan. There still would be an Isra Malicham Midar Banan. But on a derisive level, Rav is saying, ain't Eben Baichlin. Amar Rav Ashi explains, I feel Rabba Huna, even Rabba Huna says there is, even Rabba Huna, when he said there was Eben, doesn't mean Stam is salting meat is a problem. Salting it in a major way, which he's using to preserve it for traveling. He used to travel, no fridge, and he wanted to keep the meat preserved for a while. He used to put a lot of salt. Such salt for traveling, that's an amount that's considered ibud, even by meat. Avla Besa, one who puts enough salt on the meat just for eating in his house. Lemashvi Inish Milch Eitz, no one's going to salt it so much to make like wood. No one's going to salt it to that high extent. And therefore, even according to Rav Huna, who said that there is ibud on salting meat, it wouldn't apply on the regular amount of salting that a person does. Okay. The Ritva points out the flip side, even according to Rava, who says that salting is permissible. I mean, it's really tastes also. You look at the Rav says salting is permissible. It's aser midrash banan if he does any more than the regular amount of salt for a person's food, that would also be aser midrash banan, kind of like really what Tasis was saying on top of the top tasters. Okay, hamachay v'machatay, if one is smooth and cuts the hide, amar acha bar chinina hashaf bein amud b'shabbos, one who rubs the ground between the pillars of Shabbos, unlike on a porch on a roof, he rubs the ground between the pillars. Chayiv b'shem machik, chayiv b'machik. So machlekes, what's going on over here? Machlekes Rashi and the as claimed by the Meiri and the Ran versus Rabbi Nachmanah and Ram. Rashi explains simple. You're smoothing out the ground. You're one who rubs the ground between the pillars. He's smoothing the ground out, making it easier, more comfortable for people to sit. And therefore, that's a melacha of memachik. The question is, the other shanim ask, we just had this yesterday, if there's a pile of dirt, if it's in the house, or 2 days ago, pile of dirt in the house, and he smooths it out, it's baina. In the field, it's chayrish. It makes it better for plowing, it's chayrish. In the house, it makes it better for living quarters, it's baina. Why all of a sudden over here, are we saying it's an isser of memachik, that smoothing out the ground in between pillars is memachik? Why do you say memachik? Therefore, Rambam and Rebbe Chanan argue, and they say we're talking about there was a hide, there was a piece of leather hide that was hung between the two pillars, and he goes and he rubs that leather. Rubbing that leather is helping to aid in the smoothing process. Maybe specifically when it's stretching, it's even more. But rubbing the leather, that's what it means. One who rubs the leather when it's hanging between two pillars is chayef because he's aiding the malach of memachik. Nothing to do with the ground, according to these other shanim, Rambam and the Rach. Amar b'chibar Abba. Three things of Ashi told me in the name of Shuma Levi. Hamagar Rashi Kalaisis B'Shabbos. One who sharpens the top of the poles on Shabbos. He sharpens the top of these sticks on Shabbos. He's chayav Shem Mechatek. He's chayav for Mechatek. It's considered a very specific type of cutting, and therefore cutting in a specific way is Mechatek, and it's one of the Melachos. Hamarich Ritzia B'Shabbos. One who spreads a dressing on a wound on Shabbos. So he takes the dressing and he smooths it out. On top of really, it's more than just a stomach dressing. It's actually very relevant to Lacha Maisa. This is like also includes spreading an ointment. Rashi says, like a medicine, it's considered machik. It's smoothing out. This is the idea that's also to rub lotion in one's skin on Shabbos. It's b'machik. That's a considered chayv b'shemachik. That's a chiyuv of smoothing out the skin. That's a chiyuv. One is not allowed to spread out lotion on his skin on Shabbos. V'masaseis as even b'Shabbos. There's a whole question, by the way, with babies with diaper rashes. Exactly what to do, how to do it. Some say just squeeze from the bottle onto the baby directly, and then don't rub it in, and then when you close up the diaper, let's say, let it get rubbed in naturally, but rubbing ointment into skin is problematic because of machik. Hamasasi says, Evan, b'Shabbos, one who chisels a stone on Shabbos is chayim b'shem makapathos, chayim makapathos. Tasis points out, jump in the Tasis, the third taste of the page, Tasis says that we're talking about a stone that already was cut. If it wasn't cut properly, there could be other malachas as well getting to that point. We're talking about it already was cut, and now he's just doing the final blows, making a final emblem or a final nick into the stone for final purposes. That's why it's at the stage of Makim B'Patash. I'm Rav Shimon Kisma. That's the very good point. That's a good point. I'll bring you a little bit of a proof, because they discuss toothpaste, a proof to Liza Svar. Liza point, yeah, that's not just the rubbing the ointment on the skin, which is a problem, which is true. Just spreading ointment could be a problem itself. They discuss it by toothpaste. That again, maybe toothpaste is used on, it's used on the gums as well, but it's used on the teeth, and you're spreading a thicker toothpaste is problematic of spreading the ointment itself. Could be that itself is the issue without even going on the skin. That's a fair point. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar b'shem mekisba, amar b'shem lakish, hatzar tzura b'kli, one who engraves a tzura, an image, on a kli, v'amenapech kli z'chuchas, one who blows a glass utensil, so he's blowing out the glass blower. Those are both makapatish. Someone who removes that which is sticking out from beged, like little strings that stick out from beged, also but the market is a big criteria to all this. And specifically when he's makbin on it, then it's considered makapatish. If he's not makbin, then it's not makapatish. The first discuss what do we call makbin? There's already discussion in as far as the Mr. Brewer in Shatzian, being Shatzian, Mr. Brewer and Simon Shin Bays discusses when we say he's makbin, therefore it's an issue. Does that mean he's makbid enough that he wouldn't wear without it? So he's makbid, he wouldn't wear without it, then it's considered a malacha makapadish. But if he would wear without it, it's not makapadish, or no? Makbid doesn't mean he wouldn't wear it. He'd wear it, but it's bothering him. It's on his mind. We know things that are on our begadim, and when makbid, it's bothering us until we take care of it. That alone, the fact that it bothers him, that alone may be enough to make it considered makapadish, even if it's not enough that he wouldn't actually wear it. Hakasash Jesus, we say in the Mishnah, one who writes two letters, Tara Banan, Kasav Eis Achas Gedela. One who writes one large big letter, in a place where there's enough space to write two small letters. He wrote one big letter, still putter. He didn't write two letters, therefore he's putter. It's usher, but he's putter. Machak Eis Gedela. If, however, he writes one big letter, if he erases one big letter, but in its place he can write two letters, it's very, over here, he's erasing only one letter, but it's a space where you can write two letters, that's a mechika, that's enough for a spot to write two letters, and therefore chayav v'bichayav. So Amar Nachman Beis, is a unique case where there's a chumrah of erasing overwriting, right? You have a case where the same writing is exempt, and erasing in that same case is chayev because it's an erasing, which is even though it's one letter, it's enough to write two letters in that spot, and therefore it's chayev. One who builds, one who demolishes, one who puts out a fire, one who lights a fire. We pointed out for Tosfos that it's funny that lighting the fire should normally go first before putting out the fire. I think maybe Liza, someone to speak out that maybe in order to have a proper kibbutz, obviously the reason why kibbutz is usher is they used to singe the wicks and light it first, or burn the coals first, make it a coal and then light it. So maybe it could be the reason why putting mechaba before lighting, even though there was an initial kindling, it's referring to the mechaba, which is preparing it for kindling further. Therefore, when in that order, I think it was Liza spoken after the shiur the other day. Definitely a nice pshat. Taisus clearly is still bothered. Taisus says that we see by when the Mer asked about the wrong order by Zerei and Chayrish. Taisus says that we could have also asked the same question by lighting and extinguishing. But okay, nice svar, fine. So says the Gemara that one who does all these malachas, the Mishnah says, is going to be chayev for malachas of Shabbos. Most less one, I'm makapatish. Rabbi Rabzer, I'm Tavayo, call me the dispe gemar malacha, focusing on specifically makapatish, anything which hasn't a gemar malacha, anything which is the finishing touch, even though it was really complete beforehand, but if you're doing one finishing touch, chayav shemak patish. So you have a kli that's totally useful. It was really finished before Shabbos, but he does something that's like, does the Uman's final touch to it, which wasn't necessary per se, but he did it. It's still going to be a malach of makapatish. Elu avos malachas. We said in the Mishnah, these are the avos malachas. Says Mar Elu. What's Elu come to exclude? Lafukim de blazer the mechayv al tod de makam av. Elu. These are the avos malachas comes to exclude a blazer who says that when you have av malachas and todos malachas, you have two separate chatoyeses. We said it's one big category. These 39 categories, and one who does multiple avers within that same category within one forgetting is mechayv only one chatas. According to Rav Eliezer, he's saying told us on mechayv b'makam av. They're separate, and therefore he doesn't know this list of 39 is not specific, because it can be much more than 39. All the told us are separate as well. Elu comes to exclude the sheet is Rabbi Lazar. Chasar Achas, we said in the Mishnah, it's 40 minus 1. What does that come to exclude? Lafugim Rabbi Yehuda, Etan Yehuda, Meisiv, as a Shevet, Famadactic. The Mishnah specifically says 40 minus 1, meaning only 39, not 40. What's the 40th? Rabbi Yehuda adds Shevet, Famadactic. One who lines up the warp threads with a rod, and one who beats the warp threads. It's basically preparing the threads on the warp. In the weaving process, he's preparing the weft and the warp threads. That's considered malach as well. Amr Lloyd, the Chum argue, and they say shevet erebuchal mesach. One of the malachas was mesach, lining up on the threads. The warp was mesach, and furthermore, mendakte kareyebuchal ayrig. Beating the weft is part of the actual process of ayrig of weaving, and therefore you don't have to add a 40th malacha. Both those things are included in mesach and ayrig, and therefore the malachas are 39, and that's the lashon arbam chas achas to exclude this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who added a 40th malacha. Stop over here, I'll pick it up from here, and meet the Shem tomorrow.